This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the healthcare and technology channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. In the past, medical imaging was limited to radiology and cardiology departments, but today, due to the proliferation of low-cost ultrasound devices, cameras in our smartphones, and other digital imaging evolutions, it has become complex, largely unmanaged, and a hurdle healthcare CIOs are often unprepared to tackle. It is something that must be addressed, though since imaging plays such a pivotal role in the well-being of each patient's diagnosis, as well as both short and long-term care. To assist healthcare organizations as they plan their imaging strategies, Logicalis Healthcare Solutions, the healthcare-focused arm of Logicalis U.S. and International IT Solutions, and managed services provider, has formed a strategic partnership with Ascendion Healthcare Consulting, an industry-leading consultancy specializing in medical imaging. Together, the two companies are combining their talents and resources to help healthcare IT pros tackle medical imaging obstacles, something each company believes is going to be one of the fastest emerging market spaces in healthcare IT. Today we are speaking with Kim Garriott, Principal Consultant Healthcare Strategies for Logicalis Healthcare Solutions, and Jeff Williams, COO of Ascendion Healthcare Consulting, about a few of the topics their companies have tackled in a new ebook the companies have co-authored called Driving Positive Change in Healthcare: An Effective Enterprise Imaging Strategy is the Key to Meaningful Use. You can get a copy of this ebook at www.us.logicalis.com/imaging ebook. Thank you both for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having us on your show today.
You're more than welcome. Great to have you both. So, first of all, for starters, Mr. Williams, what is the role of governance in an enterprise imaging strategy? Any best practices that you've found along the way?
You know, when you talk about enterprise imaging, you're talking about a transformational project. And so governance is absolutely fundamental and even critical, I would say, to the success of an enterprise imaging initiative. You know, we're talking about a programmatic process and approach to how we're going to deal with all of these different departments and ologies that manage imaging, and how we're going to look at a way to consolidate, streamline, and simplify how we manage and distribute this information. And so governance is inherent within any sort of a programmatic approach or an enterprise transformational project. So governance is absolutely fundamental and critical. And when we talk about governance, what I mean here is not just a body that kind of monitors the process, but it truly is an active governance that means representation. You know, historically, when we do imaging projects, we're talking about a departmental initiative. So it's a radiology initiative, it's a cardiology initiative, some other department that's managing some sort of image object information. But when we talk about enterprise imaging, we're raising it above the department, and we're taking it global across the enterprise. And so there has to be representation within that governance body to help drive the strategy and the execution of what we're trying to accomplish. And that representation has to include those other ologies that historically have not been involved in enterprise imaging initiatives, in radiology-wide or cardiology-wide. They're smaller departments, and they work with smaller systems. And so we have to include them into the process, not only for buy-in, but strategically how we're going to manage all of these different clinical systems long-term that feed into the enterprise imaging initiative. And so there's a governance component that manages the tactical execution of the initiative. There's a lot of hard decisions you have to make when you do an enterprise imaging transformation initiative. Chronologically, you have to decide who's going first, what departments need to be a part of this sooner than later. And there's a lot of wrangling that goes on, and those are hard decisions to make. You need a governance body that can address those from a leadership perspective, that have the support and the sponsorship of the executive level leadership to help drive the decision making and the strategy and ultimately the execution of what you're trying to accomplish. And finally, what I would say about governance that we're finding is that it's not just the initiative itself, but the governance also has to address data integrity. You're looking at a lot of different disparate systems, some that are coming off the shelf, some that may have been coded in-house, have been around for 10 years, 15 years. And so some hard decisions that the governance body has to make about the data integrity that's going to be included in this initiative as well. Some of the data may be considered too manual in terms of the data that was as it was entered into the clinical system, that it may not be usable. And there's questions about what is considered part of the patient record and what isn't considered part of the patient record. Ultimately, those are all important decisions, but they have to be made by a governance body that has the leadership, the experience, and the representation across the enterprise.
We hear a lot about analytics in healthcare today. What role does analytics actually play with enterprise imaging?
Yes, Eric, we certainly do hear a lot about analytics in healthcare today, and imaging has a wealth of associated data with it. And in that data lies the capabilities to really improve the ways we deliver medicine and manage the precious resources that we have within our healthcare environment. You know, Jeff just mentioned that the data governance is important as you're looking to establish an enterprise imaging strategy and program, and some of the data that we need to look at developing a model for is how will those images be named, right? How will they uniformly and be consistently named so that caregivers across the enterprise will know that a certain image actually contains the information that they're looking for? So the data governance is a very important part of it. And if we're thoughtful about the way that we capture the data associated with the images, we'll be able to really leverage the power of the data in the future. At the most basic level, we'll be able to do things for non-radiology departments that radiology has been able to do for years, right? So we'll be able to track resource utilization, understand who's acquiring images, what kind of images they're acquiring, and who's viewing the images. And most importantly, we'll be able to report on audit results, HIPAA results, different security things if we're tracking that data. Then at a more advanced level, we'll be able to help our radiologist be able to have a more intelligent workload balancing, right? Be able to track the radiologist and provide studies to them at the time they need them when they're available and most ready to read the studies. And then eventually, we'll be able to predict which images a caregiver will be most interested in viewing and serve those images up proactively to the caregiver within the context of the EHR so they don't have to look around for those images within the patient's record. And as we think even further into the future, we'll be able to marry the imaging data with other content in the patient's EHR, like lab results, progress notes, and other clinical content. And this will help us to better able diagnose the patient's current condition or even predict a condition that may surface in the patient's future.
Now, viewing images is the most critical outcome of this initiative. So how are people finding success with deploying this? Is it similar to the old PACS or PACS implementations?
That's a great question, and I would say that you know, absolutely visualization is critical. Obviously, we're talking about image objects, which require the ability to view and tool sets that allow you to manipulate. You know, when we talk about enterprise viewers in an enterprise imaging initiative, and even though this type of work in the healthcare space around imaging is I would say in its younger stages. We've got a couple years worth of experience under our belts now. When we talk about enterprise viewers, we're typically talking about, most people are referencing a clinical viewer. And we need to differentiate between what a clinical viewer is and a diagnostic viewer. A clinical viewer that anyone may look at images as a reference for a patient, to show a patient, to show them where, you know, they may have, a fracture or a significant finding. That's a clinical viewer, and that's what we typically talk about. But there's a growing need and a demand for those who diagnose to use the same platform. And we're seeing that there's a big move in the visualization space where vendors are now providing both a diagnostic and a clinical viewer. And I say that because when you're moving forward in your enterprise imaging strategy, you need to think about how you're going to deploy your viewers and whether that's going to be a value to have a clinical and a diagnostic component to it. And I say that because historically, over the last few years, viewers are kind of an afterthought. You're looking at an enterprise imaging platform that provides you the ability to manage these objects across all these different clinical systems, across all these departments, facilities, and otherwise. And that's the chief initiative or the chief goal or outcome of the initiative. And the viewer is a part of that, but in many cases it's been an afterthought. What we're finding is there's a real opportunity now with the way the viewers are designed and architected that allow the viewers themselves to reach into disparate systems and to federate data so that to the user it looks like a single environment, but on the back end the viewer is collecting data from multiple instances. That allows us now to look at a different way to deploy our enterprise imaging initiative, where the viewer can actually come earlier in the process. It can be an early deployment, an early win, so to speak, for organizations that, you know, you've got clinicians and referring doctors and specialists that have to look at two or three different viewers based on where those patients' images reside, and now they can launch a single viewer and look at all those images. That gives you a real opportunity to get an early win. You can drive satisfaction up with your referring community, and allows you for the growing hospital. And this is an important component as well, because we see everyone sees a lot of M&A activity going on right now, and when you look at a hospital acquiring another facility, whether it's another hospital or outpatient imaging clinics, you're looking at having to bring this data into your ecosystem, which can be costly doing system replacement. With these federated viewers, you can leave the systems that reside in the new acquisition, but you can visualize them to a single viewer. And that's a really important thing to understand, because standing up the long-term strategy of a platform that manages the data is going to take a long time. It's going to take 12, 18, even 24 months to stand it up. Deploying a viewer early in the process really gives you as an organization an early win. You get a lot of buy-in, and you can really gather a lot of excitement and enthusiasm about your enterprise imaging strategy.
Today we are speaking briefly with Kim Garriott, Principal Consultant, Healthcare Strategies for Logicalis Healthcare Solutions, and Jeff Williams, COO of Ascendian Healthcare Consulting. They've both joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Healthcare and Technology Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Kim, to date, most imaging acquisition workflows have been designed for the radiology department and include many steps. How are organizations developing streamlined workflows to fit the needs of non-radiology providers acquiring images at the point of care?
Yes, so you're right. Organizations are taking, you know, different approaches to workflow, but unfortunately still many are trying to repurpose radiology workflows in non-radiology areas. And just to speak on that for a minute, you know, that may seem like a good idea. It seems logical. We're producing images or we're acquiring images, so why won't the radiology workflow work? And, you know, the reason for that is that the workflows used in radiology are generally, you know, they're very efficient and effective. However, the reason that they are efficient is because they were designed specifically for the radiology staff and the system supporting radiology. But image producers outside of the radiology environment, as you can imagine, have very different clinical workflows, and we do need to be thoughtful about the approach that we take to ensure that the processes that are developed for them are conducive to their behavior. For instance, let's look at radiology image acquisition that perhaps an endocrinologist may be using in their clinic, and they're seeing a patient, and the endocrinologist uses the ultrasound to measure the thyroid node. Well, if you were to follow a radiology workflow, you would need to enter an order and then complete several other transactions, like beginning the exam, arriving the patient, completing the exam, things like this that a provider outside of radiology won't have the patience to do, and it really doesn't fit their workflow, right? That workflow was designed for a radiology technologist. So to avoid physician frustration, what organizations are doing about that is that they're then turning to the back-end processes, and they're building complex automated processes to complete these required steps that a radiology workflow and the radiology systems require, and they're doing it behind the scenes. This is great creativity, but it creates a lot of overhead maintenance and issues down the line. But the good news is that today, many of our enterprise imaging solution vendors have workflow tools that we need to be able to create efficient and easy-to-use workflows. So if we take these tools, it gives us a lot of flexibility in how we can design our workflows to make them really efficient for our non-radiology image producers. If we look at those tools and we combine them with a thoughtful process design, and most key, we involve the clinician in the process of creating those new workflows, we're going to ensure that the workflow processes are going to complement and not impede the clinical process.
Certainly makes a lot of sense. Now, there's also been a lot of talk about finding an ROI and storage cost with an enterprise imaging model. Have you found that to be true, and are these real dollars?
That's maybe the $64,000 question, because everyone who is building a business case around an enterprise imaging strategy is looking for ROI. And storage is certainly one of the things that are targeted as a way to either save or avoid future costs related to how we manage these images. Listen, it's no secret that imaging objects continue to get bigger and bigger. The study sizes are larger. We're adding more technology and more digital imaging into other ologies that equal huge amounts of information and data in a single image, like digital pathology, breast tomosynthesis, things like this that are creating huge file sets. And so storage costs are continuing to go up and up and up, and you match that with the fact that pretty much everyone has decided, at least in the U.S., that we're going to hoard data. We're not going to delete it for reasons related to risk or for research, big data, secondary use, all the things that we're talking about we want to use this data for long term. And so we're just adding arrays of storage. We're adding racks of storage to manage this data long term. The question is, can we realize some savings around how we manage? When you look at the vendors in the space that are providing the sort of platforms to manage these objects long term, there's been a development of a concept of intelligent image lifecycle management, ILM rules, where you're able to look at the data. And early on, when we talked about ILM, it was around when an image hits a certain age or a certain level of irrelevance that we can delete it. Then we can automate the deletion process. Well, clearly that's not a path anyone wants to really take on right now. Everyone is figuring out ways to marginalize the data, store it in other ways. And what we're seeing is, instead of deleting the data, looking at image lifecycle management as a way to manage that data long term. In other words, whether it's tiered storage, where you're looking at cheaper tiers of storage, or you're looking at cloud-based storage, so that when an object hits a certain age, or data hits a certain age, it gets moved into the cloud because it probably won't be accessed, but you still want to have access to it, and you can really drive down the costs long term around how you manage that. One other thing I would add to that is that when we talk about managing image objects, we're talking about a lot of organizations that have disparate facilities across geographical locations. And what we're seeing is these vendors and the technology is now providing the opportunity for us to manage those objects regionally or locationally. So where the image is acquired, where it is viewed, plays a huge role in where that data is stored. If there's multiple locations or co-location of data, this type of intelligence allows us to keep the data where it needs to be and not keep moving it around unnecessarily, because every time you move it, it's costing us money, it's costing us network overhead, we're adding risk to the data. And so these smart systems now are letting us manage the data both regionally and locationally, but also long term, because we're not going to delete it. We can now start to look at ways to look at cheaper ways to manage it and store it, which I think is an exciting development in the enterprise imaging space.
Jeff, thanks for going into detail there. Now, most healthcare organizations are sharing images with their patients and other providers on CDs. What are the challenges created by the use of CDs, and is there a better way to share this information?
Yeah, there certainly is a better way to share the information than the use of CDs. And we're seeing a lot of frustration, and we've seen this frustration for years as we've been, you know, using a CD as the medium that we, you know, share our images on. And some of those frustrations are related to the types of access that a physician may have on the workstation that they're using in their clinical environment. Maybe they don't allow a certain application to be downloaded by the CD so they can view the images. So that can be very frustrating to a physician if he's sitting in an exam room, for instance, with a patient that brings a CD in and it has images on it that he needs to view to be able to have an effective interaction with the patient. And then he's stuck without being able to actually open the images. We also see delays, potential delays, in patient care. For instance, today, many organizations, if they are transporting patients, say you have a community hospital and there's an emergent patient transfer that needs to take place. Maybe a patient was in a car accident and they quickly need to get them to a level one trauma center. Well, they've imaged the patient at the community hospital. They'll typically burn those images to a CD and literally strap the CD to the patient's chest as they're transporting them in the ambulance. Well, patient arrives, CD with the images arrive, and then the care team on the receiving end has to open the CD and try to view the images before they can really determine the appropriate or most appropriate path of care. There's also a lot of cost associated with burning CDs or managing CDs, right? So industry research will tell us that it costs between $7 and $18 to actually burn or produce a CD with images on it. So if you're a medium to large size organization and let's just say you're even producing 10,000 CDs a year, which is a very low number for larger organizations, they are spending, somewhere around $80,000 to $100,000 a year just on burning CDs. So there's a lot of cost involved with this, aside from the frustration that the CD technology causes. So there's definitely better ways to move this information or share this information between organizations today. We can look at something called Image Viewing Federation, which is something Jeff mentioned earlier when he was talking about how to view images. We can set up federation between organizations so that we can view those images without the need to actually move the images first, right? So that's a big convenience for organizations, and it keeps the network bandwidth low so that those images can only be moved when they need to be moved. And then there's other capabilities that our technology providers have for us today that allow patients to upload images that they may have had acquired at a freestanding imaging center or some other location other than where they're going to be receiving their next round of care. They can have the CDs at home, upload those images to the provider that they're going to have an appointment with, and then the provider has the images well in advance of the patient coming to their office for the appointment. So in this way, the physician is better equipped and more knowledgeable when the patient comes to his office, so he can focus on rendering care for the patient and focus on the patient instead of focusing on technology and trying to open a CD. And this same process allows us to have, say, the community hospital be able to transfer images over to the Level 1 Trauma Center in a similar way so that the images are there, the care team has viewed those images, and has a complete care plan developed for the patient when that patient arrives.
Well, you both have been very thorough on the topic and importance of imaging within the healthcare space. In conclusion, any closing thoughts or takeaways or a final tip for the listeners today?
Yes, Eric, I'd just like to say that, while we're still living in the shadow of our EHR projects, we know that we still haven't achieved everything that we wanted to achieve with that, with those projects. And the development of an enterprise imaging strategy and the subsequent inclusion of all relevant clinical imaging into a single longitudinal view within the patient's EHR really provides us an opportunity to truly improve care coordination and impact the outcomes for our patients. However, with that, thoughtful consideration and planning is really critical to ensure that the enabling technologies and workflow processes complement clinician workflow and don't create unintended frustrations.
I certainly want to thank you both for your time and for covering this important issue and topic and how your companies are certainly helping assist healthcare organizations as they plan their imaging strategies. Kim and Jeff, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Eric, thank you.
Thank you.
And you're both more than welcome. We have been speaking with Kim Garriott, Principal Consultant, Healthcare Strategies for Logicalis Healthcare Solutions, and Jeff Williams, COO of Ascendion Healthcare Consulting, co-authors of the new ebook, Driving Positive Change in Healthcare, An Effective Enterprise Imaging Strategy is the Key to Meaningful Use. You can get a copy of this ebook by simply visiting www.us.logicalis.com/imaging. ebook. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Healthcare and Technology Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network, and we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.